Hello and welcome to our blab. Now, I am joined by Christine Bailey, who is a functional nutritionist. And today we're going to be talking about how to survive Christmas without piling on the pounds. Now, a topic I think that everybody, it's in the back of everybody's mind at Christmas, because we do all eat far too much. I certainly do. And the thing is, as well, is that everything that we all love and that's traditional about Christmas is so calorific, isn't it, Christine?
Well, it can be. I mean, on average, it's estimated that people over that sort of Christmas period put on about 5 pounds, which is quite a lot, actually. Yeah. I wonder whether the Americans actually put on more, because it seems to me from my American friends that they start their Christmas festivities from Thanksgiving. So they probably have a whole month of eating more, whereas we seem to do it, you know, over maybe a couple of weeks with office parties, buffets, family lunches, and of course, Christmas dinner. Now, the studies have also suggested that we on average, I'm really surprised at this, eat about 6,000 to 7,000 calories on Christmas Day alone.
Now, what is the daily average?
Yeah, so the daily average should be around about 2,000. So you're looking at sort of three times, you know, the amount. And that's just on one day. And if you think about it as well, you know, often the reason we put on weight as well is because our normal routine changes. Perhaps we don't exercise as much, we don't go to the gym, we're sitting around a lot more, you know, we're snacking, you know, that box of chocolates is out, that extra glass of wine. And actually all of that adds up. And not only does it make you feel not only that you've put on weight, but you often actually feel quite sluggish. And some people obviously will suffer from hangovers as well, of course.
Absolutely. And it's not just Christmas Day either, because if you really do it in the traditional way, you've got then got the next day cold meat and pickle. You know, it just goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
It does. And also, I think there's this element of, you know, if you are visiting family and friends, you feel that you have to eat all the offerings that are being given. But it's worth mentioning, you know, that actually a lot of the seasonal foods that we associated with either Christmas Day or Christmas can actually be really healthy. So, for example, turkey actually is a very good, lean, high-protein food, rich in B vitamins, very energizing, good source of iron, particularly the brown meat, actually, very good source of iron. So it's very energizing. The problem is that we smother it with fatty gravy, stuffing, sausages, bacon, you name it, we add it. But, you know, turkey on its own actually is very, very healthy. The greens, of course, I mean, Brussels sprouts, I mean, the studies on cruciferous vegetables, amazing for health.
And I absolutely love them.
Well, so do I. And it's surprising that actually a lot of people do really like them. It's fashionable not to like them, but actually I think they're delicious. My children think they're delicious. And it's really what you pile on your plate on Christmas Day can make or break your diet. So what I would normally suggest to people is, you include a reasonable amount of the protein, so the turkey, or I mean, some people don't have turkey, they might have something else. You pile half of your plate full of loads of vegetables. Just watch how much fried stuff you add, because often, you know, you deep roast things, you know, your parsnips and everything else, but focus more on the steamed vegetables. And then just watch how much of those extras you add, the stuffing, the bacon, the sausages and the roast potatoes. Those are the things that are likely to pile on the pounds, because they are higher fat and they're also very starchy. You know, a lot of the potatoes and the sauces, the cranberry sauces are quite sugary. Those are what are going to pile on the pounds. And also what I often suggest to people is, you, if you are being offered a three-course meal, and let's face it, on most days, we don't eat three courses, do we? But on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day, we feel we have to. Well, in that case, get smaller plates. So you have a small starter, a small main and a small pudding, so that you still have all of the courses and you don't want to offend people, but you're not piling your plate up. I mean, when you look at some people's plates, one, they're huge. And they're sort of mountains of food. Well, you never eat all of that. So don't put it on your plate, because if it's on your plate, you're more likely to eat it.
Absolutely.
And then I would say the other thing is to watch those extras, the glasses of wine turn into a bottle or two of wine, the box of chocolates, the Christmas cakes, the mince pies, you know, all of these are incredibly high in calories and sugar. I mean, one mince pie alone has 4 teaspoons of sugar in. You know, a Christmas pudding, just one small serving, will have over 12 teaspoons of sugar. Wow. Because of all that dried fruit. I know, you know, even Christmas cake, you know, one small slice will be about 200 calories and 30 grams of sugar, which is about 7 teaspoons. Half a box of small chocolate, you know, a small box of chocolates is around about 680 calories, 15 teaspoons of sugar. I mean, we're talking serious sugar overload here.
And if you take my house as an example, it's all over the house as well. My wife puts it out with all the crisps and all the nuts and just so calorific.
Yeah, and we overbuy, don't we? We always buy too much, you know, just in case someone pops round, or we just want to make sure there's enough. You know, it is excessive. I mean, one of the best things that you can do is actually to buy nuts with their shells on, because it takes a lot of effort to crack those nuts, and you're less likely to grab a handful of nuts and just waff it down, or a handful of chocolates. So what I tend to do is get a few nuts that my children like, but keep them in the shells so they have to make an effort. Otherwise, they will just eat a whole bag full, even when they're not hungry. And maybe have things like, you know, a whole bowl of satsumas around, you know, because I'd rather they snacked on those. And maybe if you are someone that likes to drink wine, say to yourself, I have a glass now, then I'll have a couple of glasses of fizzy water or something, or I have a spritzer. And then I'll give myself a bit of a break, and then I may have, you know, another one a bit later. Space it out. And if you are someone who suffers with hangovers, headaches, then eat it. Then have the alcohol with food. Don't have it on empty stomach, because it will just go straight to your head and you'll feel awful later.
I mean, that's another element we haven't even touched on, is the alcohol.
And hangovers.
The amount we drink.
Yeah. And do you know what? You know, the number of questions I get from clients and also the media about hangovers, what do I do? How do I stop a hangover? I mean, obviously, don't drink so much. But, you know, if you do go to a party and you find that you've, you know, got carried away with cocktails or celebratory drinks, and that could be New Year's Eve as well, of course, there are actually a few things you can do to prevent you then suffering the night before. Now, this is not an excuse to drink, so please don't think that I'm saying it's okay to get a hangover, but, you know, there are certain things you can do, which, again, we know from the research. So say you've gone to a party and you feel, I've probably drunk too much. The first thing to do is take a vitamin C tablet, you know, one of those sort of fizzy effervescent vitamin C's, stick it in some water,
ascorbic acid, and,
and drink vitamin C. Vitamin C is really useful for supporting the liver function. And also, if you have a couple of glasses of water or even coconut water, one of the things that alcohol does is dehydrate you, so rehydrate yourself before you go to bed. And what some people do is take something called glutamine. Now, glutamine is an amino acid that is very useful for supporting liver detoxification. So you can get it as a powder. A lot of athletes take it because it's very useful for muscle. Add that to your water, drink it, and then go to bed. Sleep. You need to sleep. Try and get some sleep. Now, it can be quite difficult because alcohol can destabilize your blood sugar, so it may wake you up. And of course, if you've drunk loads, you may be going to the toilet. But if you can, try and sleep. And then the next day, try and eat something, because your blood sugar is going to be really low and you need to stabilize it. And one of the things we recommend is eggs. And there's a good reason for that. One, obviously, protein to support your energy. But eggs contain an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine, and that is really good for supporting your detox, because you need to detox that alcohol. So eggs in the morning, you may not feel like it, but that would be useful. And there's other things like bananas, because when, again, you are drinking a lot, you often will deplete levels of magnesium and B vitamins and potassium. Bananas contain all of those, and they will help to balance your blood sugar and, you know, give you a bit of a perk up in the morning. So bananas, coconut water to rehydrate you, eggs, and then something that's high in vitamin C to support liver. So that could be your satsumas, your berries, watermelon, probably not the right season, but those are really useful ones to include in the morning.
I think what would be very useful, Christine, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but what would be very useful, because I don't really know the answer to this question, is what actually is a hangover? What is the science behind
what a hangover is? No, that's a very good question. And actually, one of the main reasons we get hangovers and also headaches is to do more with the dehydration and the destabilization in blood sugar. It's not that you've got to such toxic levels, although obviously it does put a burden on the liver, but actually it's to do with the dilation of blood vessels in the brain. And that's, again, often associated with headaches, of course, as well. And that's why keeping yourself hydrated, so after a night out, drinking 2 or 3 glasses of water can be so useful. And avoiding the temptation in the morning to drink loads of caffeine, which again would dehydrate you again. So rather, you know, have a protein shake, put loads of coconut water in it, could actually be very, very useful to quickly replenish you. For some people, they will still be toxic the morning after. And that's why the police are now saying, please don't get in the car and drink, and drive, because you may well still be over the alcohol limit. Because the rate at which we metabolize alcohol varies from one person to another and will vary depending on whether you've eaten food when you drank, what type of alcohol, how much time it was, you know, was it several hours of drinking or was it a quick, you know, quick sort of binge? All of that, it's very difficult to predict. Am I over the limit? And without testing yourself, you almost need to assume I may still be over the limit. I better not drink and drive. And that includes the morning after.
There was an interesting TV show. I forget which one it was because I only saw the recording on Facebook after because my friend actually appeared on it. This was this week or last week. About how mums who go out for a Christmas celebration and then take the kids to school the next day.
And they'll be over the limit.
They were all over the limit.
And it doesn't necessarily link to how much alcohol you've drunk, because some people are what we call slow metabolizers and they can have just a few glasses and be still over the limit. Someone else might have had a whole bottle of wine and won't be over the limit. So you can't almost use that as a guide. And that's part of the problem.
Absolutely. And what would you suggest, getting back to Christmas Day and you know, the main celebration? You know, if you wanted to have an alternative to the traditional Christmas lunch, let's say. You know, what would you do?
So, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, particularly in Italy, certainly on Christmas Eve, they will go for fish. And it might be, you know, like a massive trout or sea bass or, you know, salmon or something like that. And instead of loads of roasted potatoes and starch, you know, you could just have some seasonal vegetables, maybe with some cranberries in it as well, and have that as an alternative. I mean, traditionally in our family, we often don't actually have turkey. We might have a slow-cooked roast lamb, for example, and just pile our plates with loads of veg. Obviously, if you're vegan, vegetarian, nut roasts are very popular, or nut burgers. Or, you know, something like that. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's more to do with having a family celebration than necessarily having all of those foods that some people don't even like.
And let's face it, Christine, you know, Christmas has actually, I mean, we're probably living proof of this right now with the stuff that we're wearing. But Christmas has become so commercialized. And, you know, you look at the adverts on the TV, they play on this excess. It's not Christmas traditionally. In fact, turkey didn't used to be the traditional Christmas lunch. I think goose used to be. Or duck.
And expectations. And I think that's the problem, is that expectations are so high, everyone feels disappointed because they don't meet this family, you know, harmony that is portrayed. And I mean, you know, I am actually a Christian, so for me Christmas is very important, and it is for our family, but it's all centered actually around family traditions that we have. So we have Stir Up Sunday, you know, we make a healthy, gluten-free, dairy-free Christmas pudding so the kids can have it. The kids actually make raw homemade chocolates. I think you saw us make some. We did a video.
They were gorgeous.
And that's part of our family tradition. And for me and for the children, that is what they love. It's those sort of family things that, well, Mum, we always do that and we like to do that. That's what's special. I mean, we actually have a family tradition where we always will go down to Winter Wonderland, you know, in Hyde Park, you know, and, you know, even though the children are getting older and older, they still want to go. And I think those are more important. And certainly for us, you know, keeping active over the Christmas period is so important. We sometimes will do a Boxing Day 5K or just a family walk. You know, we'll just keep active. Because you don't want to get out of those healthy habits that you have been, you know, working hard at all year just for a Christmas blowout. There's no point. And, you know, actually, if you look at a lot of the good seasonal foods, they are actually healthy. Often it's that we eat in excess and we cook them in a way that may not necessarily be that beneficial.
One thing my mum used to hate about Christmas Day, and by the way, I'm Jewish, but we've always, just because it's so much fun. We've always had Christmas Day, you know, the roast and all the trimmings and all the rest of it. But one of the things that my mum used to hate was she had to spend hours and hours and hours in the kitchen. Now, as it happens, I'm one of those people who love that. I like cooking. I enjoy it. It's therapeutic, and I like being in the kitchen, and I like the kids running around and all the rest of it. But for a lot of people, they don't enjoy that. And I'm just touching on what you said earlier, that you might not go with the traditional turkey. You might have a slow roasted lamb or whatever. You know, for those people who don't like spending hours in the kitchen, you could do that in the slow cooker overnight. Have everything ready the next day.
Yeah, and
all you've got to do is boil the veg up.
Or
steam the veg or whatever. And then you've got the whole day just to enjoy.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, if people are interested, there is actually a recipe, I think, on my website for, you know, a slow roast lamb. And you're quite right that actually you could, if you've got a cooker where you can preset it, or a slow cooker, you could just literally season it, flavor it, stick it in, forget about it. And you can get, you know, cheap electric steamers, or, you know, if you've got a steamer, just have the veg ready prepared. And then it's literally, 10 minutes before you want to actually eat. The other thing that a lot of my clients do who really hate cooking is, you know, not necessarily on the actual Christmas Day meal, but say for buffets and things, just make use of things that are prepared, like sheets of smoked salmon, prepared cooked prawns, slices of meats from the deli, you know, prepared hummus, salads, you know, crudities. You don't even have to cook any of that. Just have it all out on the table, and people can help themselves, and it's no hassle at all. And again, I think this is going back to that expectation, you know. It doesn't have to mean endless time in the kitchen. I'm like you. I actually use cooking as a way of unwinding. But I do appreciate that, you know, if you've got loads of family around and loads of kids running around, it could be very stressful. But actually, you could just say, you know what, we're going to do some things cold. We're going to have some things that I've already prepared, and I'll just get out the freezer and heat up. You know, or like you've just said, slow cookers. You know, you can, things like gravy and that, you can prepare well ahead of time, stick it in the fridge and then reheat it. You know, so cranberry sauce you could have made, or you can buy. You know, a lot of these things actually you can either make or buy and then just heat it up when you're ready. And again, I think it's also, if cost is an issue, don't be tempted to buy too much. Don't, because you know that half of it will get wasted or chuck it away. Or if you've got family coming, ask them to bring stuff. Say, you do the first course, I'll do the pudding, you do the main course or whatever. Split the cost as well. And that also is a nice way of, you know, saving time for yourself if you're not someone that wants to spend hours, you know, cooking in the kitchen.
Okay. And you we've mentioned sort of the main course.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also mentioned how calorific and loaded with sugar some of the traditional puddings are.
Yeah.
How about some alternative puddings?
Yeah. So there are alternatives. So, I mean, easy ways. If you are someone that likes to cook, for example, I mean, we make our own Christmas pudding and we sweeten it with xylitol to cut the sugar right down or even avoid it altogether because the dry fruit is enough. If you like making mince pies, why not don't put the pastry topping on and switch to phyllo pastry rather than short crust because that will reduce the fat content.
Yeah.
A lot of people will do platters of fruit and Greek yogurt or a sorbet or just a very good ice cream instead. Instead of Christmas cake, you know, you could actually make little sort of, you know, Christmas muffins and have those later on in the day. You a lot of people will actually just, you know, have almost platters of things like cheese, nuts, maybe a little bit of dried fruit, you know, some of the medjool dates, and have that as an alternative. I mean, fruit salads, obviously, you know, and it's not of, you know, what everyone wants. But you can save on the fat and the calories again as well by maybe skipping the brandy butter and maybe using a good quality Greek yogurt or coconut yogurt or something like that, rather than, you know, sprinkling loads and loads of more stuff on your Christmas pudding. And the other thing is, watch the portion sizes, because these are really quite stodgy, heavy foods. And if you really love your Christmas pudding, then fine, have a small amount and maybe skip the brandy butter and have a bit of Greek yogurt with it instead. You know, that would be a better option. But there's, again, loads of, you know, pomegranates are a brilliant way of spicing up fruit salads. You know, you can marinate fruit with spices. You know, or one of the things my kids love is poached pears with star anise and cinnamon, you know, and you poach it in a little bit of grape juice. And that's gorgeous, you know, if you just want something lighter. Or you say, you know what, we'll have a break and maybe have the Christmas pudding a little bit later on instead of tea. Because most of the time, people still serve an evening meal, even though you're completely stuffed. You don't need anything to eat, and yet you feel you have to. Just listen to your body, you know, and maybe serve your stuff on smaller side plates to save piling it all on, which, quite frankly, you're just going to end up overeating.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I think the other thing that's worth saying is that a lot of people skip breakfast thinking that they will save on the calories, and actually that can make you over hungry, because often you're not eating your Christmas dinner till 2 or 3. By then you're so ravenous you overeat, so it can actually be counterproductive. And so maybe just having a light breakfast, particularly if you are someone with kids and you're getting up really early in the morning for those stockings, then, you know, just having a little bit of scrambled egg or smoked salmon might actually be a good option. Just get a little bit of protein in the morning, and that might stop you from overdoing it at lunchtime.
Yeah, scrambled egg and smoked salmon is a tradition in our house on Christmas Day. Yeah. But on the alcohol side of things, often, I mean, I've been to so many different Christmas Day celebrations where there's somebody who drinks so much and even the most hardened drinkers can't drink all day long, you know, without collapsing, and it ruins the day for them. Some advice on pacing yourself?
Yeah, and the next day as well. I mean, it often will take its toll on you for a couple of days at least. And I would say the best thing is, if you are going to drink, drink with food, because you need to help reduce the rate at which that sugar hits your blood system, because remember, alcohol is just sugar, really. It's, you know, it's fermented sugar. And if you drink on an empty stomach, it will go to your head very quickly. You're likely to feel very lightheaded. And also, it often takes away inhibitions, which means you're tempted to keep eating. So you actually end up eating more when you're drinking as well. So what I normally suggest to people, if you're going to a party, have something to eat before you go. Nothing major, because there's likely to be loads of snacks there, but a bit of protein, stabilize your blood sugar. And then what I would normally say again is, you know, if you have a glass of wine, then for some people, diluting it with soda water or fizzy water can be useful, or having one drink, drink it slowly. Keep well away from that buffet and well away from the bar, because you're tempted then.
Yeah.
Talk to someone, take your drink, go off and talk to someone so you're distracted. And then when you finish that, don't let people keep topping it up, because then you forget how many have I actually drunk. When you've had one, have a break and say, right, I'm going to have a soft drink now. I'm going to have maybe a little nibble or some fizzy water, and then I may have something later. And again, pace it. Don't just drink in an hour and, you know, completely toxify yourself. Pace it and stabilize your blood sugar with a little bit of protein-rich foods. That could be the nuts and seeds on the buffet table, some olives, some hummus, you know, some slices of ham or, you know, gammon or whatever's being served. And that will help to stabilize your blood sugar. And then there are those remedies I mentioned about hydration, vitamin C, glutathione, eggs, protein, that you can do afterwards or the next day if you really are suffering.
Okay. Now, we wanted to keep this to about half an hour. We could talk about this all day long. I know.
But I have written two blogs for you as well.
Right. Okay.
So, there's a blog on hangover helpers. And there's also one on the Christmas survival, which sort of goes through what we've just talked about in terms of how much sugar and calories each of those sort of foods that you often eat, how much they actually contain, just to really sort of ram it home.
Okay. And I've put the link in there for those people watching live. I've put the link in there to Christine's blog website. Check that out. I think the best thing you've said throughout this whole thing here is about what Christmas is really about. And being with your family and enjoying the day. That doesn't mean drinking and eating to excess, because it actually can actually ruin your day. And I think that's the best advice you've given so far.
Yeah.
So,
Christine, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Thanks very much for taking part. Really do appreciate it. And this is going to be your last one until the new year, I believe.
I know. My goodness.
But we'll be doing plenty of more in the new year, and I can't wait to take part. So thanks very much.